As a little girl, I was very interested in astronomy and science in general. When I was a kid with my dad, we watched the Cosmos series with Carl Sagan on TV. I grew up in rural Pennsylvania where the night skies are pretty dark, and I would go out in the backyard and watch for shooting stars. And then when I went to college, I was trying to decide whether I wanted to study physics and astronomy or writing. And I thought, well, I could write without having a physics degree, but I couldn't do physics and astronomy without a physics and astronomy degree. And I've been very fortunate to have a lot of excellent mentors and teachers along the way. So I have a PhD in astrophysics that I got from Johns Hopkins University. I was a researcher for many years, and the last 5 or 6 years I've made the transition to leadership because I wanted to have a bigger impact on science and astronomy than I could do as an individual researcher.
What do you feel are some of the most important achievements that you've been able to oversee?
Well, I've just been in this particular role for about 4 weeks. So the achievements for those teams, I think most other people get credit for that. You know, the team here is fantastic. Getting that very complicated telescope instrument, having it just work so well. I remember watching videos of all the little pieces that needed to come out, right? Like the solar array and unfolding of the mirrors. And there were a lot of places where something could have gone wrong, very wrong, and it just went beautifully. And astronomers around the world are so excited. Like we just finished the third round of selecting the proposals for the things that will be observed with the James Webb Space Telescope. And for every program that we're able to accept, there are 8 programs that we had to reject. So there's a 9-to-1 ratio of demand versus supply for time on this telescope.
You know, and speaking of those, I guess experiments and other programs that people put in for and they want to be selected in connection with the Webb Space Telescope, not that long ago, people could get in because of, kind of on virtue of who they knew and, you know, connections that they used. And now it's a totally blind kind of programming thing and more women are getting in. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, that is something that when I was a staff member here, I helped facilitate, but the Space Telescope Science Institute really led the way in trying to make the evaluation process much fairer by essentially taking the names off of all of the proposals when they're reviewed and actually making sure that the language in the proposals don't say, oh, our paper from 2010 was great, right? And that is a practice that is now adopted across the science world.
In Africa, there's a lot, I'm sure a lot of young people who want to or are interested in astronomy at least, and maybe they want to make that their career too, but they face a lot tougher obstacles. What would be your advice to young women and girls in Africa if they really had a keen interest in astronomy already and they want to move forward, but they really don't know how?
Well, first of all, I'll say that's fantastic, right? Follow your heart and trust yourself. I would say get in touch with folks locally and folks around the world. Many of these resources, the James Webb Space Telescope, the Hubble Space Telescope, are open skies. They're open facilities for anyone around the world, and not just for proposing new observations, but also the data. So, get engaged. We have online broadcasts of all of our science talks. I think there's a lot that even if you're not directly physically associated with, an institution that has resources, there are resources out there you can really learn a lot from.